Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's hosted by me, Kyle Schoenewill, and my friend, Robbie Earl. Robbie, today is the last episode of our season one. It's been an incredible journey. How are you feeling?
Wow, feeling nostalgic, unsurprisingly. What a journey it's been.
Even though, Robbie, this is the end of our season one, it is not the end of Friends from Work.
Oh, no.
We are going to give you our best guess at an update of what our plan is going to be for the fall, okay? So here's my vision. But also to execute his vision. Here's my vision.
Call me Ella. I had a vision. Nobody believed me.
There's so many vision references. I just said that we could work a lot of things in there if we need to. I saw this coming.
Give it to me.
Okay. We are going to be taking a summer break after this episode, but it is incredibly important that you follow us on social media now more than ever before. We are at the FFW podcast. And I know we say that a lot, but some of these ideas we have for miscellaneous Marvelettes, instead of some of those Marvelettes being in podcast episodes over the summer, we're going to get to them occasionally on Instagram Live. Here's our thought. We feel like that will work really well because not only do we have the structure of a normal Marvelette, but you guys can jump in with your feedback, your questions, and we can respond to that live. Doesn't that sound kind of fun?
Sounds fun to me.
See, if we were on Instagram Live, they could say, yes, this does sound fun.
I like to think that people are sitting there listening to this and still speaking to us, though, that when we ask these questions, they're responding.
Yes. We think that'll be fun. If there's some other miscellaneous news or stuff like that that we need to attend to, we can get to that as well. So that's going to kind of be the format for the summer. But don't worry, because as soon as Falcon and the Winter Soldier gets a green light for a release date that we 100% know of because of these weird times, we're going to be back up and running. And our hope is to cover Far From Home before that, then take a week or two to preview what we think could happen in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then after that, once new content is out, it's anyone's game, baby. We're going to be going right at it, hopefully weekly, talking about these new episodes and what life looks like for these Avengers post-Endgame.
Man, and it's going to be really interesting because season two for us is going to kick off this whole new era of the MCU in a few ways. I think most significantly incorporating these Disney Plus shows. Like it's kind of crazy because moving forward, ostensibly, if we were to do another rewatch, say in 5 years, right, that rewatch would probably include these shows.
Some of these things.
Mm. So it's going to be really crazy to incorporate all this and kind of see where it lands.
It's all going to be new. It's not only new content, but new format for us. So we're excited about that.
And I'm personally, again, as we've come to the end of this rewatch that we'll reflect on here in a moment, I'm excited to see kind of how it works kicking off a rewatch with Spider-Man Far From Home, rather than having ended this one with it, and to see kind of how that flows into some of the movies that are coming up, especially with some things being pushed back and being pushed up, and just kind of how the whole phase as we've set it up will now flow. So,
and a ton of our current rewatch is mostly chronological with a few tweaks. And what's going to be interesting is obviously with this new content, it's not going to be chronological necessarily. So right. Far From Home may kick off the new rewatch, but you know, we don't know, like Black Widow is going to jump right away back in the past.
Right.
And we don't know where WandaVision or Loki are necessarily going to be taking place 100%. But I'm excited about it. It'll be more like a release order.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, what that tells me is that we'll have to go through it in release order and then just keep doing this long enough that we can go back and do another rewatch incorporating all of the new stuff.
We're not lying when we say that we watched Endgame like 3 times this last week, and then Robbie texted, maybe we should just start over? Like, maybe I should... rewatch all the trilogies. We're trying to think of new ways to watch these movies and see if something different happens, I guess.
starved for content over here.
No doubt.
Speaking of the rewatch, I have been reflecting some, which is sort of what I wanted to do on this episode. I know we have a few things we want to cover, but this is the first time now that I've watched all these movies through in this order, and we've watched them together and with this whole kind of Friends From Work community. And I feel like there are just a few things that I noticed. Some things have been reinforced, things that I already thought, and some things I've maybe noticed for the first time. But one thing, and this is, you're going to roll your eyes as soon as I say this, because I have been saying this since day one, but it really hit home for me. We were talking on Instagram about who your favorite member of the big three is, right? And I know this is a sore spot, but hear me out here. People said Captain America. Now, I'm not saying that's a scientific poll. I'm not saying that it's conclusive. However, here's what I just think is really interesting about that, Kyle. Like, our own rivalries taken out of the equation. If you had looked at the MCU, you know, 5 years ago, would there have been any contest between those three?
It would have had to have been Iron Man.
It would have absolutely
been Ragnarok.
Ragnarok
would not be out yet, which changed Thor.
Right.
I feel like if Ragnarok had not come out, Thor is not even really in this discussion.
Yeah, no, totally, totally.
Yeah, post-Ragnarok for sure. But it's such a funny thing for me, Robbie, because I joke. Like, I think I resonate with Iron Man a little bit more. But yes, Captain America's trilogy is better. And what the last 5 years have done for Cap is outstanding. It's crazy. Two of his last three movies, and then the work he did in Endgame and Infinity War is some of the best stuff in the MCU. So I joke about it, but I'm team Cap as well. I mean, I'm team Iron Man, but I'm team Cap. Like, I love him with all my heart.
You know, back in our first episode ever, we were talking about this quote from Joe Johnson, who directed Captain America: The First Avenger, about this kind of gravitas that Chris Evans brought to a role that could have been so corny. And obviously, it's only gone way up from there. But I was just struck by how, on paper, I still think Tony Stark is kind of a more interesting character, right? Like, I feel like there's kind of some more nuances to it. It's more of the traditional kind of, he's like the super smart aleck, but good-hearted guy that you sort of love to hate sometimes or whatever, but it's like...
Yeah, but I wonder if almost that is the reason why Cap won that competition you're talking about. Like, is Tony's character arc on paper almost a little more, like, stereotypical? That sounds terrible, because I love it so much. Whereas I've grown to appreciate what you're saying about the earnestness of Captain America. I never used to think that, but ever since you said that, I can't get it out of my head. And in a way, his arc of being that crazy, like, follow all rules, naive guy to kind of jaded is a different kind of arc. Hmm. Like, it's fresh.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And yet somehow Chris Evans keeps that earnestness all the way through, even in Infinity War when he's kind of rogue. You still feel this. He still has like a moral compass you resonate with. That never changes, even though his exterior changes. and then to bring it kind of back to his original Cap in a way in Endgame.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of a fresh arc. So yeah. I'm with you a little bit there.
Yeah, I think that's just what struck me here is kind of looking through the whole course of the MCU. And I think you're right. I think between Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame, we just got such great Cap content, and especially with Endgame, that it's crazy because we went from an MCU, and this is just impressive, I think, maybe all around, but particularly a shout out to the Russo brothers here, I guess, and Mark Simifili. I think for the longest time, the MCU was Robert Downey Jr. and all of his kind of supporting cast members on some level. You know, like everyone had their own movies, but it was really like he was the one holding down the fort. And I just think it's really cool to see us get to a place where I don't think that belittles Robert Downey Jr. or the work he's done at all. And I would never want to do that because I think what he brought to Tony Stark and what Tony Stark brought to these movies is, I mean, obviously essential. But I just think it's really cool that we got to a place now where there's some real debate over which of these characters is the most compelling and which one is your favorite Avenger. Like, I think that it's fun and impressive that we've reached that spot. And I think it speaks to how complex the universe has become.
I also think we wouldn't feel the same way about either character if the other character didn't exist. They almost need each other for me to be compelled.
Yeah.
I don't know that Cap's arc or Tony's arc is as good if it's not centered around the conflict between the two and how different they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why I'm not really a team. I'm not really on a team, you know, but this rewatch, this order, and talking to you and you having a different opinion than me has brought a great new appreciation and a focus on Captain America and Chris Evans as an actor. And I've very much appreciated that. This rewatch centers around that, and it helps extend some of the ramifications of the big moments that we felt like got shortchanged. That's pretty much the two things it does, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Puts more of a focus on Cap, and it separates out Civil War and some of the other big events, like not jumping right into Far From Home, right? If you can call that right. This order by not throwing it right away after.
Right.
I've really enjoyed it. Just for the record, the only tweak I would make on my next rewatch, like what I'm doing with my dad, is I did like that other path we diverged to, which is putting Guardians 2 later, not back to back.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I'm tweaking for the future.
I've made recommendations to folks, I've had them go down that road as well. And I think it's better. And so as long as we're talking about the rewatch, Kyle, I was curious. You know, obviously you've seen these movies, most of them several times, all of them before. But on this watch that we've just finished, what was the most surprising thing that you picked up on that you never picked up on before? Maybe what caught you most by surprise? Maybe like a movie that you didn't look back on that well that you wound up liking or vice versa, or a thread that you really noticed? Is there anything that kind of comes to mind?
Oh, man. Okay. There's a lot that comes to mind. Can I start really big picture with my first part of my answer? I think because in the past, I've watched these movies, obviously, in release order, and I kind of just chose what movie I wanted to rewatch, you know? So I didn't... It's been a while, I should say, since I sat down and just rewatched them all. And I think the thing that most surprised me about this watch was how much I enjoyed going a little more linearly and how much everything worked in a linear way. Like Kevin Feige had a bigger plan for this all than I ever even thought in the past. When you watch him in release order, you might be tempted to think that certain details get left out or something because you're bouncing around as a viewer as far as where it fits and what question gets brought up and whatever.
Right.
In this order, it's amazing how few details they missed. That's what surprised me the most. Like everything matters. Like we talk about, everything was thought out, and the few things that weren't, you know, we can joke about them, but they're so minor. Like when we talk about Thor's eyebrows being bleached.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, what a tiny detail, but so many things work. So many story arcs flowed. There was so much care given, more than I ever thought. That's my big picture answer. My small picture answer would be, I think I enjoyed some of the movies that I used to hate more than ever before. Sorry, I shouldn't say hate, but like right. I never thought Thor 1 was good at all. But on this watch, I really enjoyed it. Same with Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
It used to be a joke movie, and I know we joke about it the entire podcast. We've joked about it every episode possible. But like, as, go back and listen to that episode. I said, like, I really enjoyed it. I don't know what it was, but it was fun for me. The music was good. There was some good action. It looked cool. There's funnier things than I remember. So I think in general, the movies that I used to think were just not good got elevated some.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say for me, Thor is kind of at the heart of what struck me most on this rewatch. Like I was talking about Cap earlier, but like I said, I kind of came in looking for that. Endgame had sort of raised some questions in my mind about Thor's arc, right? Because up until then, I mean, Ragnarok was so great and Infinity War was really cool, but that we had just seen this like peak Thor, but I wouldn't have called it really an arc. Like Thor, I think more than any other character, was really defined by his experience in Infinity War and Endgame. So going back to the rewatch, I was really struck by how well they specifically honored his arc in a way that, like what you're saying, made me really enjoy those first two Thor films. And so I think, you know, we've joked about it, but it hasn't been hard. I think this is what's crazy. It has not been hard for us to make those Thor 2 references.
That's actually true. We don't talk on the phone ahead of time and say, hey, make sure you get a Thor Dark World reference in here. We don't right. plan it out. It does come up naturally, which is so funny.
So, I mean, again, and you know, to go back to what we were saying with just the way that all these characters have become so complex, I think that a lot of that is Kevin Feige sort of shepherding it all along the way. But I did notice that, you know, whether it's that or the Russos bringing everything together, he does have a traceable arc. Like, it's not like the first two Thor movies are just throwaways and then it's Ragnarok, Infinity War, and Endgame. Like, I think it's fun to see that going back through, even the way that he is in Age of Ultron, however you feel about that particular storyline. I think beyond that...
Can I also say, kind of regarding that, when I'm looking at my list of my rankings that we're going to do coming up later, I'm struck by how many of the earlier movies are towards the bottom of my list, and yet, when those earlier movies came out, I loved them, and I still love them. But what that tells me is I thought when I was watching Iron Man and the Avengers and these incredible movies that that was going to be peak MCU.
Yes.
And so many series go downhill from the time they released their first thing or their best thing. And yet this only got better. Almost all of my top 10, almost all of them happened in the last few years, which tells me they not only honored the originals, they improved on them.
Yeah.
Which is not, I know that sounds so obvious now, but that is not a thing in movies all the time. That is not at all the normal.
Oh no, totally. And I was struck by the same thing because on our Avengers rewatch, as much fun as we had, and if you go back and listen to that episode, a lot of it is just Kyle straight shouting
hey,
from enthusiasm. Hey.
That's
no, true. I was on the same page. I had so much fun on that episode. And I remember recording that one specifically because I couldn't stop laughing. But at the same time, I remember being struck by the fact that, like, you know, having seen Infinity War and Endgame more recently before going back and watching The Avengers, like I was like, wow, this movie is worse than those. You know, like
yeah, but also others too, like since seeing Ragnarok and Civil War and,
Spider-Man
and Winter Soldier. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Which is
just fun because, like, I feel like in other franchises, right, there are, like, these early kind of pinnacle movies that you're never going to get past, like Raiders of the Lost Ark or Empire Strikes Back. Like,
oh, dude, almost everything. You talk about The Office. People say season 2, 3, 4 was the best thing they ever did. And it's almost every show, every movie, every series.
And we've talked about that a few times through the podcast, but I do think that that's a good takeaway. And I think, you know, again, that just makes me excited for kind of what's coming because I trust that the same folks that have kept improving all along the way are going to keep giving us interesting stuff. And I love that we can look forward to some different things that even now we're not expecting and maybe wouldn't think we wanted, you know, like Fat Thor and Professor Hulk, that will probably ultimately be more satisfying.
I think another thing that's happened that's going to be so fun to trace for the future is that now that this has gotten so successful, but also just so actually critically renowned as being just good, I think that's only going to draw in more actors, actresses, and directors and inspire them to be a part of this and to do something great. Like, meaning people want to be a part of this now because they see what the original 6 Avengers had, not just financially their career, but I mean, like, they poured themselves into it and made it such a good thing that I think now other people like Tom Holland are like, I want to be a part of this for as long as possible. This is a good thing.
Right.
I'm with you. All signs for our season 2 point that it's going to keep going up and be good and better and better. I hope that's the case. And I do believe that Kevin can do it. So go Marvel.
Go Marvel.
This rewatch wrapping up right now has been kind of fun because it's been about a year since Avengers Endgame originally released. And I'm sure a lot of you listening have seen this, but there's been a lot of talk and discussion about Endgame specifically. In fact, right when we kind of did our rewatch and released our episode, the Russo brothers actually did a rewatch of that movie with Robert Downey Jr. So tough to top that. But if you haven't seen that, go check that out.
They were obviously threatened by us.
They were obviously threatened. Joe texted me and said, hey, bro, I got to do this. Sorry. But it's been fascinating to Robbie and I how culturally relevant this movie still is a year later.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it really, like, I just don't think the conversation has fully stopped. And I think that, again, says a lot to I think that it's interesting because sometimes movies just make a big splash, right? And I think on some level, Endgame made a big splash because of the amount of money it made and because it's a massive superhero blockbuster movie, so sure. But again, even though it is a massive superhero blockbuster movie, these characters and these stories have stuck with people such that people are still coming back and still wanting to relive it, even though it's only been a year. Like, we're still, it's like not enough time has passed for us to be looking back on it fondly. We're still just kind of in it, but it's like people can't get enough of it.
I know. And I actually think the directors and Robert Downey Jr., for example, feels the same way. If you watch that Instagram, they're still kind of in it, which is crazy to me and something I love. I want my actors and directors to feel that passionate about it. But over and over again, they just kind of kept talking about how grateful they were to do this, how it's going to end up being kind of the project of their lives, you know? And it's they don't say that in a way that's a bummer, like they can't move on. It was just such a reflective, like, I don't know. It was so cool to watch, and I love that they're as into it as we are.
Yeah. It is nice to see them not be... Sometimes you kind of get a peek behind the curtain, and it's a bummer to see creators be jaded.
Right, that's what I mean.
Kind of cynical, yeah. And it's fun to see... Really, I feel like everyone I can think of that was involved with Endgame seems to give off that vibe. Like, it seems like people just genuinely loved working on that project and working with each other. I know that hasn't been the case with everyone involved in MCU projects, particularly early on, but it seems like it finished up as this legitimate, at least from the outside, kind of family.
I think so too. And if you listen to them talk about it, you actually get an understanding and a little bit of an appreciation for how much effort goes into this from the Russo brothers, but from the crew, but also even from guys like Robert Downey Jr. They talked about how he constantly was trying to tweak what's the best version of Tony Stark for this. Like they were talking about how he would text them. They'd work all week and they'd be slaving away at it. And then Sunday night, Robert would still be texting them ideas of this or this, or we could tweak this with the death scene. And they specifically talked about Tony's death, that they knew he was going to die for over a year. And for a year, they pared that scene down. Like at one point, I think the death was going to be a lot more dialogue. There was going to maybe be more flash. And over the course of a year, they kind of came to the conclusion it needs to just be Tony not saying anything, sitting there kind of dying. And the more time they thought about it, the simpler it got. There's just stories like that where you start realizing like this is not them just winging it. This is Robert Downey Jr.'s life work. And Chris Evans' life work and Chris Hemsworth's life. You know what I mean? Like they've poured themselves into this, and that makes me appreciate it even more. So that rewatch, our rewatch, and then following along with these guys has been so fun. And you know, there's life lessons, and there's something deeper to the MCU that keeps drawing us all back, whether it's a good versus evil or something we resonate with, because I mean, they're still even doing rewatch parties of other movies like Guardians 1 I saw with James Gunn, and it's, people can't leave it very easily. And I think that says something about the goodness of the story they're telling.
Well, and that's how we started this whole thing, you know, back with our very first episode ever talking about Endgame and talking about kind of trying to figure out what that was. And I still don't know if we figured out what that secret sauces, other than the fact that it just seems, again, maybe it is just, it seems to be, maybe it is just the people telling these stories seem to really believe in them. Like what you said, like it seems like there is, from everyone involved, this real commitment to making something kind of good. And there's like a beauty in that. And it's cheesy, but I don't know. I think it's really cool that we've gotten to all walk through this, you know, kind of collectively as a culture, but also with this Friends from Work community, because it is like, it's a story that is, I think, pretty unparalleled.
It's not cheesy. It's only cheesy because we're talking in the context of superhero films, but you could say the same thing about, it's cheesy about space people in Star Wars, and it's cheesy about orcs and elves in Lord of the Rings, but there are these epic stories of good versus evil in these tales, even like in Tony Stark's eulogy, how he says epic forces of dark and light. That is a story that will always resonate with us when it's told well in some other epic setting. And I think that's okay. That's good that you like that and you're drawn to that. So I'm with you. I love it. Robbie, we still need to wrap up by giving our final rankings. We teased these rankings all along with some movies neglected. We are finally going to give people our full-blown order and let people tear it to shreds.
Yes, we do have to talk about our rankings, which you know is the
which
hardest
is
thing
of
in
your
the
nightmare.
World
That's kind of your do, nightmare, to be honest. Like, I really enjoy the rankings part. Robbie stays up at night struggling over it.
Well, at least you can know that I haven't changed my list at all since the last time we talked. Wink, wink.
Same. So I'm just going to fit in the last two Avengers. So we're not going to beat this to death because you guys have heard us talk about this, but I'm going to give you my Kyle Sconewill definitive final Marvel Cinematic Universe rankings. And then Robbie will do the same.
Wow.
I am going to do the bottom 12 movies in a hurry because we've already talked about those, and then I will reveal the top 10. Fair?
Yep. Give it to me.
Number 22 for Kyle Sconewill's list, The Incredible Hulk. Number 21, Thor. 20, Thor the Dark World. 19, Ant-Man. 18, Captain Marvel. 17, Iron Man 2. 16, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 15, Iron Man 3. 14, Captain America 1. 13, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. 12, Doctor Strange. And 11, Black Panther.
Wow.
So what's your bottom 12?
Black Panther 12? Is 11 for you. Gosh.
It's still halfway, okay? That's pretty good. All of them, as we just said.
No, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Number 22 for me, Robbie, is The Incredible Hulk, unsurprisingly. Number 21 is Thor. 20, Iron Man 2. 19, Thor the Dark World. 18, Ant-Man. 17, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 16, Captain Marvel. 15, Doctor Strange. 14, Iron Man 3. 13, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. 12, Captain America the First Avenger. And 11, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay. We're not going to get into it. Same disparity as before. Yep. Everyone listening already knows the films, okay, that we are going to argue about. But so I'm not going to say anything. You know what I want to say right now, but I'm not going to. So I'm just going to move on. And now, this is the definitive top 10 movies in the MCU, as said by Kyle Sconewill, although we all know it's the actual correct opinion. So everything your opinions are all fine, but this is the right answer. This is like Peter Quill saying, okay, you have a plan, but the fact that it sucks, so let's just do my plan. That's this case right here, okay? Here we go. Number 10, Avengers, Age of Ultron. Number 9, The Avengers. Number 8, Iron Man. Number 7, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Number 6, Spider-Man, Homecoming. And now, drumroll please, the top 5 movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, according to Kyle Sconewell. Number 5, Captain America, Civil War. Number 4, Thor, Ragnarok. Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1. And number 2, Avengers, Endgame.
Wow.
Number 1, Avengers, Infinity War.
Wow.
I want to hear your top 10, and then I want to say one last tidbit about those last two.
Yep.
Okay,
yep,
so okay. Number 2, Endgame. Number 1, Infinity War. The best movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Wow, yeah, I'm excited, Robbie, to talk about that. Okay, so my number 10 is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. My number 9 is Iron Man. My number 8 is The Avengers. My number 7 is Captain America, Civil War. My number 6 is Spider-Man Homecoming. Number 5 is Black Panther. Number 4 is Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 3 is Thor Ragnarok. Number 2 is Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, wow.
And number 1 is Avengers Endgame.
Now, what's interesting is it's not that common to have those two necessarily 1 and 2. I think we both viewed those last two movies with such a larger perspective than just how is it as one standalone film because of our rewatch. Like, we poured so much into building into those.
Right.
In some ways, I would say Infinity War or Endgame actually has a couple flaws that even maybe Guardians of the Galaxy 1 doesn't have for me.
Fair.
I know that's bold to say.
No, that's fair.
But I just cannot emphasize the amount of impact those movies have when you factor in the buildup, when you factor in all of the characters that I love, getting to see everything I've always hoped I would get to see. Like, it just carries so much more weight than those other movies. That's why I have to put them 1 and 2. And part of me didn't, like, I struggled forever to even separate them 1 and 2 because I loved viewing them back to back.
Yeah.
And they complement each other so perfectly.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to go with this official order for me. One other thing, and then I'll let you finish your thought on that. I used to think Endgame and Infinity War, there was a large gap there. Every time I've watched Endgame these last few weeks, I've liked it more and more and more. And I was so tempted to put it at number one because it truly is. I mean, it's virtually perfect. And it's finally a year later hitting me like I think they intended it. And yeah. The cultural impact of it is so large, but I just can't go away from my gut like you did with Guardians and Thor Ragnarok.
Right,
like originally,
right.
My gut had Infinity War, and I still can't change that. They're both so good. It's impossible to separate, but I just separated.
I think it's so hard because I remember, and I think we've mentioned this before, but I remember walking out of Infinity War and just thinking, well, that was the best Marvel movie I've ever seen and just one of my favorite movies I've seen, period. Like, I was just so into it, saw it so many times, have always been into it. Whereas the first time I walked out of Endgame, I remember calling Candace, mm-hmm. and she was like, what'd you think? And I was like, I don't know how to talk about this movie.
Yep.
Like,
I felt so weird. It was so good.
So
you knew
weird.
It was good.
Yeah.
You knew
yeah,
it
yeah.
was good.
But I think
yes, so unsettling.
It's exactly. It's so unsettling. And I'm going to say something that I don't know. I don't know how to say it any better than this. So I'm just going to use the language that we both understand. But this is not meant to disparage your ranking. But sometimes in my mind, the way that I think about Infinity War and Endgame, Infinity War is obviously my number two, so I love it.
this is quite the disclaimer. I'm on edge.
You know, we've talked about before how there are steaks and there are donuts.
Oh yeah, okay.
And I am not saying that in general Infinity War is a donut by any means, but I think within the context of these two movies. What I mean by that is I think Infinity War gave me everything that I wanted, and I loved it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really give me... It didn't push me in any particular ways other than the ending.
Relatively speaking, these two. Right.
Compared to what Endgame did. But I think that's why I could walk out of Infinity War with... I mean, even with the snap at the end... I didn't walk out with the same unsettled feeling that I did walking out of Endgame. You know what I mean?
I'm laughing so hard because I think I'm exactly the same way. I just maybe like donuts a little more than I probably should. but no, I 100% agree. I've been wanting to say this for a long time. People know I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan. In so many ways to me, if someone asked me what's my favorite movie of all time, I might say Inception. And in some ways, Inception is to Infinity War, like Interstellar is to Endgame.
I loved
Interstellar, and I thought it pushed the boundaries and made me think about so many things that made me feel uncomfortable.
Hmm.
But it's so emotionally hard for me to watch over and over again that it's hard for me to say I like it more than Inception. But
right.
It did a lot of really, really good work that maybe even Inception didn't quite do. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, I left Interstellar feeling very strange, and that's how I left Endgame.
Hmm.
But
that's a
if
great
I
comparison.
Want a hearty steak and broccoli dinner where I'm going to have to just sit with my uncomfortable emotions and digest it, then Endgame's better. Then Endgame's better.
Yeah.
But if you're... I get what you're saying because it almost belittles Infinity War. That's not the case.
Right, that's not what
but
I'm trying to do
and
at
I don't,
all.
I love Infinity War, but if you want just something that's a little bit easier to digest and a little tastier up front,
yep.
It's Infinity War.
But I'm
so
like
however you feel about those two is how you're going to rank them, you know? But
yeah, exactly. Because the longer that I sit with Endgame, it's just there's a depth to it that it keeps hitting me in different ways where like Infinity War hits me in different ways in the context of the entire watch order, you know, just because of the culmination of certain stories and characters meeting. But it's like Endgame, just as a standalone movie, even outside of just the obvious fulfillment of the stories concluding, there are so many emotional layers to these scenes that I just feel like it's like... In my mind, it's a step above what we have seen in any other MCU movie. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, here's another layer I just thought of, okay? Remove the ending of Infinity War. Take it out of the equation. And if you want to be fair, take the ending of Endgame out.
Hmm.
And besides the ending of Infinity War, it is pretty standard linear fighting dread battle movie. The shock of the snap, though, was so impactful for me that I think that shock alone raised the stakes to where I'm putting it number one. But without that snap, Endgame is clearly doing more work, character and plot-wise, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's just how much do you value that shock of the first time you saw that? Which I, as listeners know, value very, very highly in all films.
Yeah.
Like, I watch movies. My favorite thing about movies is not knowing what's going to happen and then finding it out. And when I find out, it's hard for me to go back and rewatch. Now, it's so funny because I rewatch Marvel movies now for like a hobby slash a job with this. Right. But I've never been a movie, quote unquote, rewatcher. Like, I don't just watch films over and over again.
Right.
Because so much of the impact of the film is finding out what's going to happen. So I think that's why ultimately my heart sides with Infinity War. Even though I know, I think Endgame is doing more work. Does that make any sense?
No, it totally does. And I came across this book through a professor of mine at the law school called How to Read Books, which is hilarious, from a professor at the University of Chicago. And basically, his thesis is that you read through something really quickly and just kind of take in the big picture. But then to really read it, like, you need that big picture and then to be able to go back and read it a second or third time and kind of read everything within the context of the fuller picture that you've already seen. And I think that that really fits perfectly for me. Like, I think that's a perfect description for me of like how, yeah, Endgame and kind of our rewatch as a whole.
I know. See, I'm valuing the first experience higher than you are.
Yeah,
you're valuing that digestibility after you understood the shock of it being over, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's fair.
And you definitely, upon rewatches, get more and more and more out of Endgame, whereas Infinity War, upon rewatches, is still incredible. Again, these are all relatively speaking, but you get just kind of that fun action-y vibe and then the shock of the ending.
Yeah, but I would say like the return is growing like exponentially with Endgame in a way that I wouldn't say it is with Infinity War on subsequent rewatches.
Okay, a couple more notes. And this is going way longer than I thought this season wrap was going to do. But I love what we're talking about right now, so I'm not going to stop. I just love this. I also think, again, I'm so grateful that we're arguing this much about movies one and two. Like, this didn't have to happen. There is a world where these movies were not filmed by the same people. They're not
that's so true.
Directed by the same people or filmed at the same time. And one of them was a bomb. Like, one of them's number 14 on my list. That's
right.
That could have happened.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's happened in almost every other series.
Right.
When you do something like this.
That's how a lot of people feel about Rise of Skywalker after The Last Jedi. Right.
Star Wars is such a perfect parallel to this because I think Star Wars is amazing, but I think they've done things incorrectly where Marvel did things correctly.
Yeah.
Like, that's a perfect example. A ton of people would say Star Wars is Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. Those two are like head and shoulders above everything else. Well, yep. Guys, there was another 7 movies made after those two. So it's like in Star Wars' case, it didn't happen like this, where every movie got better.
Right.
So I'm just thankful that these two were pulled off by the Russo brothers and by Kevin and these actors in such a way. And I think filming at the same time was key because they flow so perfectly.
Yeah.
They made this work. So I'm just so thankful that we're arguing about 1 and 2 and we're not arguing about 1 and 15. Okay? That's my first premise.
Yeah.
My second thing, kind of reiterating what I said earlier, if an alien came to Earth and had never seen any movie ever, and they said, I want to get into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what's that? I know no characters, I've never read a comic. Interestingly enough, I'd probably hand them Guardians of the Galaxy 1. That's what I'd probably hand them if they had no preconceived notions of Iron Man or Captain America or anything.
Interesting.
But it's not number one on my list. And that's where I struggle with, like, I think if you handed them Endgame, it would be so good, but they'd miss so much of it that it wouldn't be better than Guardians 1. So like, if I had to say in that scenario, I'd probably hand them Guardians of the Galaxy 1, then Ragnarok, then maybe I'd hand them like Endgame or Infinity War just to show them what it could be. I don't know. Just a thought.
That's tricky because Candace, just to torture me, because she knows that my answer will change from week to week, will ask me sometimes if I could only watch one Marvel movie for the rest of my life, what movie would that be?
But these are all different questions. It's kind of the same point, but they're different things a little bit. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, because as you asked the question...
I think it'd be Infinity War for me. I think that's why I'm answering that. I think it'd be Infinity War.
So I've always said, or I say that since Infinity War came out, I've said Infinity War for that. And I think after this last final watch of Endgame, I think I'm going to say Endgame there too, which I know is strange because Infinity War gives me a lot more of like the kind of moments I would want from a superhero movie. But I think that one thing that Endgame has for me that Infinity War just does not have at all is the Cap-Tony relationship. And granted, it works so well in Endgame because you don't have it in Infinity War, right? Like, it's the fallout
you have
of
it,
that.
But you have it by not having it, kind of, in Infinity War. That's the point. Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
I think, like, for me, a movie that, you know, like, obviously, I wouldn't want it to be someone's introduction to the MCU, but it, to me, like, it encapsulates it so well because we talked about how it returns characters in some ways to their kind of fullest original form, while also, it's like they've come full circle, though, but, like, it's like, you know, it's like they're walking around the side of a mountain. You know, it's like they're back kind of at the spot where they were, but they're on a higher plane now.
Yeah, but then seeing them work together
makes
me so happy. I mean, the fact that Cap's last line is, "I thought I'd try getting some of that life that Tony told me about," just makes me so happy. Like, I can't even explain it. So you're right there. You're right there.
Gosh, but it is so, I mean, and that's some of the stuff that will be fun for us to talk about over the summer. And I think everybody kind of has their different takes on like what their, you know, Mount Rushmore of MCU movies are, or, you know, what their one indispensable one is. Or I've seen people put together a list of, you know, because I know sometimes people will say that they have people that want to get into the MCU. And I think we've even touched on this before, that don't want to watch all of them. So it's kind of fun to see what are the really essential movies. Like, there's so many different things to talk about here that I'm sure we will talk about because we can't not talk about them. But
this is why we're doing some Instagram live stuff over the summer, because we've recorded 50 plus episodes. Me and you have had another 50 plus conversations outside of those episodes.
Easily.
And yet I came into this episode saying, Robbie, let's just do like a 30-minute wrap up of the whole thing. And here I am. I can't stop talking or thinking about it, even though I'm already done. And Endgame's been done for a year, and I can't stop thinking about it in these ways. That's why I have to have some stories. That's why we did this podcast. That's why we love you guys. That's why I think you guys still like this stuff, because you can't stop thinking about it. I love that. I love all of it.
It's so fun. And I'm really excited to hear from listeners what their final rankings are, kind of what their big moments from the rewatch were. Like, I know we've got some people that have been going all along the way, and I would love to see kind of how their perspectives have changed, if they have changed. So again, follow us on social media, because we'll be asking some questions like that. We'd love to get some feedback as we move into our mid-season break before we start season two.
And we've said this before, but when Robbie and I started this podcast, we had no idea where it could go. We didn't know if anyone would listen. And we've been so thankful and honored that people are listening. Now, because people are listening, we kind of want to blow this thing up. So, and so just kind of one last pitch, we could really use your help for season two. We've had so much fun doing this, but anything you guys can do to help us blow it up for season two, we want to make season two so big in such a big way. Huge. And you guys can help with that. You can tell your friends about it. You can follow us on social media. If you are taking somebody through the MCU or you think somebody would like it, share our podcast with them. so they can go back and listen to the episodes we've already done. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us. You can follow us on Spotify, subscribe. There's a lot of things you guys can do to help us, but we want season two now to be huge because this has exceeded our current expectations and we have dreams of what we could do in season two. Robbie and I are so thankful for all of you. This has been a dream come true for us. So may the fourth be with you.
And thank you for joining us on season one of Friends from Work.
Friends from Work will return.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.